It's good to see you guys. Good to be up here. Pastor Joe was messing with me about my Bible. This is an old school Bible. My boo got this for me back in 2010. It says, "Happy birthday and happy studying. I'm so happy for you and about all that you get out of this study tool. I love you." That was before we got married. Get you one like that who's going to be a blessing to you in the Lord, right? Right? She don't just look good. She got the good on the inside, right? But God is good. He put both of them together. Amen. 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 I like Chick-fil-A. Yeah? Chick-fil-A fans? I also like McDonald's. See, my McDonald's fans in here. Look, here's the thing about McDonald's. People don't like to say they like McDonald's, but y'all like McDonald's. Y'all like McDonald's. Yeah, you like the French fries. Don't let them get cold. But you like the French fries. You like what they got going on. You just feel bad for eating McDonald's. You're like, I shouldn't have ate this, man. It's so sad. I shouldn't have ate this. But y'all like McDonald's. Look, something tough happened to me this week. I went to both of these institutions. Ordered food, specifically from Chick-fil-A. I like to get the strips. I don't know if you've had them, but you should. Very good. Very good. They're longer than the nuggets, so you got longer dip time. All right? And then when I was at McDonald's, not the same day, I ordered some nuggets. Chicken on both sides. Both of them dunkable, right? You dip it. You dunk it in the sauce, right? I ordered my food. Both occasions, two different institutions. I get home, and they didn't have my sauce in the bag. They didn't have my sauce in the bag. I can tell. Yeah, you want to go back, right? You're almost in an outrage. Like, you understand nobody's coming here and buying naked chicken. Nobody is. There are very few people who are getting naked chicken from Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, and that's only if they're on a diet, they're like, ah, it's too much sugar in the sauce. I shouldn't be getting this anyway. No sauce. Outside of that, the only reason why you order those things is for them to be paired with the sauces. They must be paired with the sauces. If they're not paired with the sauces, then you're very disappointed. I think the people who work there should really know this better than anybody else. They have them on the menu and the advertisement. What does that tell you? These two go together. They go together. You're telling me on the picture as I'm coming in, hey, if you get these strips, you can make sure you get the Chick-fil-A sauce. Okay, I will. I sure will. It's so frustrating. Look, truth be told, you have the main thing. You got the chicken, right? You got the chicken. Yes, I know that is the main thing, but there's no sauce. You got the main thing. But there's no sauce. Say that one more time. You got the main thing, but there is no sauce. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. You got Jesus, but your lifestyle, golly, sauceless. Sauceless. See, the thing about Jesus is when you get him, he changes you. They go together. You got the main thing and the sauce, you put them together. You're expecting that. The world is expecting that. Your fellow believers are expecting that. They are expecting you, once you have Jesus, once you got the chicken, to have the sauce with it. They're meant to go together. As a matter of fact, the advertisement is that they go together. God is so good. God is love. He's so loving. But if you're not loving, sauceless, sauceless. God is so good. He bringing that mercy, man. Lord Jesus then changed my life. I got so much mercy on my life. Pay me my money right now. You no mercy. I don't want to hear your excuses. Give me what I need right now. Sauceless. You in business. You met the Lord. You're doing great. And then it comes time to do something the right way, but you'll get more money doing it the wrong way. And you go ahead and do it the wrong way. That's sauceless. See, what comes with Jesus is a lifestyle change. Being a believer is not just a position. It's a new life. Say it again. Being a believer is not just a position. It's not just a title. It's not just something we claim and say, look, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. We joined the social club, right? We in the South. We know that actually works for us here. It actually works out pretty good to be a Christian here in the South, right? Under the Bible Belt. Yeah, you a Christian? Oh, yeah, really? What church you go to? Oh, yeah, over there? Oh, man, I'm over here. Trinity Chat. Yeah, Pastor Joe. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Where are you? Okay, yeah. We start the vibe off of that whole thing, right? It's not just a title, though. It's a new life. It's a new life. They go together, and when they don't, people are frustrated because the advertisement said that your life would start to look different once you met Jesus. And if that doesn't happen, it's very disappointing, like me getting home, opening up my bag, pulling out the chicken, but not seeing that sauce in there. It's so frustrating. So frustrating. God has called us to have the sauce. What happens when you get saved is the tension starts to arise. Forgive my handwriting. LaFay said, you should have me do it if you want people to be able to read it. The tension arises. I'll give y'all a little visual here. God's will. And our fallen desires, attention arises. Attention arises because God's will is over here, but our fallen desires are over here. Once we get saved, that tension is presented. Notice here I said our fallen desires. I don't mean your natural desires that should be there. I want to make that clear. You have a desire to eat, and you should. You have a desire for a relationship, and you should. You have a desire to earn money, and you should. That stuff is good. I'm talking about fallen desires, evil, lust, unforgiveness, murder. All of these things that fit in here are fallen desires. There's a tension that comes right here, right here. There's a gap. As a matter of fact, I'd like to move this a little bit further for effect, right? Effect. Our fallen desires are here, God's will is here. There's a gap in between. What closes this gap is discipleship. All of that space. This is real. This is you and me. We know this, right? I really want to go off on them right now. Right now. I just want to get in there. Right now. Right now. Because they did what they did, and I felt that. I didn't appreciate that. I want to do that, and then God's will is over there. How do we get from here to here? It's a daily process. Discipleship. Pastor Matthew spoke last week, and he said a disciple is a disciplined learner. A couple weeks, we'll hear Phil talk about the same thing. It's a disciplined learner. So how do you become a disciplined learner? Through God's word. Through God's spirit and God's people. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. This is how we are discipled. This is how you become a disciplined learner. This is how you close the gap. And that's the title of this message, Closing the Gap. Closing the gap. As believers, recipients of salvation, what is our need for discipleship? Listen to those words. As believers, what is our need for discipleship? It closes that daily gap. Y'all feeling that? Y'all with me? Y'all rocking with me so far? Okay. God's will. This is kind of a teach preach. Y'all good with that teach preach? Kind of got to do that for this type of topic. God's will. Normally when we see this, we might get a little afraid. What? That's a lot goes in that. Which part is God's will? God, what do you want me to do? How am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to be like Jesus and I'm supposed to wear sandals? Am I supposed to be like Jesus and die on the cross? How am I supposed to respond in this situation, to that situation? It makes sense to wonder, what's the simple way that I know God's will? And depending on who you ask, they're going to go to different scriptures, different parts of the text. And I think that those things are relevant. They're good and they are right. But I think that there is a very simple place that we can look in Scripture to show us what God's will is. If you would, let's go there. This is Matthew 22, 37 to verse 40. He was being challenged. Jesus was being challenged by some Pharisees. They said, "What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What's the greatest commandment?" They thought they were going to stump him, these guys. I don't know. Maybe it's hindsight bias, but just stop asking them questions, you know. Stop trying to stump them. You'll never be able to do it. This is what he said to them, though. Greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. He didn't have to add this part, but he did. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then here's the key part right here. This lets us know this is God's will for your life and mine. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If you want to know what God's will is, you need these two things. Love the Lord your God with everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Very simple. Very simple. Very simple. He said, on these two things rest all the law and the prophets. Everything that Jesus taught rest on these two commandments. So if you're trying to figure out what God's will is, that is what his will is, that you would love him first and foremost with everything, and the second is like it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. If it fits that criteria, it's God's will. If it does not fit that criteria, then close the gap. Close the gap. There's a gap because it doesn't fit here. That means it's over here. It's over here. We need to close the gap. It's very simple. God wants us to walk in his will. Our fleshly desires, our fallen desires rather, want to do their own thing. We were saved. We were set free. We met Jesus. Now it's time that we close the gap. That's what discipleship looks like. Closing the gap. Y'all with me? Can y'all say close the gap? Close the gap. You have a gap. I have a gap. Everybody has got a gap, right? Everybody. I think it's necessary to say something here. Discipleship is not for unbelievers. I want you to let that marinate a second. Discipleship is not for unbelievers. That's putting the cart before the horse. That's putting the sauce before the chicken, right? The world that does not know Jesus has no reason to be discipled by Jesus. None at all. Why would they be doing that? They don't know Jesus. But the reason why I point this out is because I think that for us as believers, we find it good sport to point out how sinful the sinful world is. Man, this floor is just black. That's a black floor. Yeah. Man, this world, they just look at them. They just out here doing all of this stuff. You mean the stuff they've been doing? Like forever? Daniel, lion's den. They put him in a lion's den. You know what I'm saying? The Greek culture in and of itself, I mean, geez. Gee, I mean, come on, let's be real here. The world has always needed Jesus. Discipleship is not about telling an unbeliever to be like a believer. Our job is to model this gap being closed. And then they say, "Oh man, I like the way you live, and I like the sauce on your nuggets." Let me understand more about this. Oh, and then we tell them what it looks like versus us saying, "Look at you, look at what you're doing." That's like having somebody else's, you on your own diet and you're trying to put them on yours. Don't eat that cake, Chris. Don't you eat that cake. My diet says that you shouldn't eat it. That's your diet. That's not my diet. That's how the world looks at us when we're just out there pointing stuff out rather than closing the gap in our own life. It's much easier to do it like that, though. It's just like you're in a Spanish class And you're learning Spanish, and you kind of getting the hang of it, right? You're going, you're learning. And then your siblings try to say something in Spanish. You're like, no. No, it's not. It's hola. It's easy to do that because they're not in the class, right? They're not in the class, and you feel real good about yourself by saying how wrong they are, but that does nothing. It does nothing for us. Discipleship is for believers. So shift your mindset. They need Jesus, then discipleship comes. We have Jesus, so discipleship should be happening. That's closing the gap. That's closing the gap. So question for you, are you more focused on the fallen nature of the world rather than intentionally putting yourself in position to be discipled? That's a question for you and I. Is that where our focus is, the fallenness of the world? If it is, you'll be right all the time. Congrats. They're always wrong. Yep, great, great. And what does Jesus say about you in that situation? You leading any of them to the Lord? All right, we'll move on. That growth is expected of believers. It's expected of believers. Let's look at some scripture to see what the writer of Hebrews has to say about this. Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. And we're going to be in Hebrews for the rest of this. This is what he says. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Notice how it begins. Take care, brothers. Who is he talking to? Brothers, Christians, believers. He's talking to us. What did he say to us? Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, Christians, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you, Christians, to fall away from the living God. Discipleship is for us. He is warning us. He's warning us to take care. Take care. We won't get so much into the warning right now. That's a little bit later. I want us to look at the means by which he says to prevent this from happening. He says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Exhort one another every day. That is discipleship. That is what he is describing. That's a disciplined learner. That's how you close the gap. You are in community with believers. You are committed to relationship with God. You are committed to the word of God. And you exhort each other every day. You're in the community, right? He says this is what you use to prevent a hardened heart. This is what we use to prevent ourselves from staying over here. Notice what he calls it. He says the deceitfulness of sin. It's deceit. Sin can deceive you. In other words, you can be over here, but feel like you're over here. You can be over here in your fallen desires, but feel like you're over here when you're doing it alone. But when you're in community, I got Pastor Matthew here, and as he says it, you can't see the back of your own neck. You need somebody to, hey, tell you what's going on back here. Notice that literally God didn't put eyes back there on purpose. You need somebody, right? And then you have the Holy Spirit who reminds you of what God has said. And then you have the Word, which is him, and it's like a mirror that shows you yourself. Oh, man. Discipleship on all ends. This is what it looks like, guys. This is what it looks like. This is how we create the environment to not stay over here. We get amongst other believers who will tell us if we're missing the mark, who will encourage us to keep going, who will say, man, Pastor Chris, that was good. But then if they catch me slipping, not that they're just trying to find anything, if they see me slipping, they say, Pastor Chris, I saw you slipping. Let me love on you in this way, right? Let me love on you in this way. This is how, because here's the thing, I'm a Christian. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. So I intentionally put myself in the midst of people and the Word and the Spirit so I can be over here. This is a daily thing. This is not a thing that we arrive at and then it's done, it's finished, it's complete. It's daily, it's always, it's forever until we leave this earth. We are always, always. He said, as long as it's called today, as long as today is today, then you keep doing this. When your last day comes, then you don't have to worry about it no more. You don't have to worry about it. But until that day, until you are in that place, when you are before the Lord, you continue to be in this process so you close that gap daily, daily. We have not arrived even as pastors. We got to work on this. Ask LaFay. She'll tell you. She'll tell you. Ask my kids. I have to apologize too many times. I'm sorry, son. I shouldn't have went off on you like that. You should have got in trouble, but I shouldn't have went off on you like that. Like that. I went a little extra step. I'm sorry. Right? They'll tell you. We got to be in this place. Y'all following with me? You tracking? And I hope that the tone of this message is so that you're not thinking about other people. You are thinking about you. Because I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about me. I need this. We need this. None of you are Jesus. I'm not Jesus, so that means we need this. But even Jesus put himself in the middle of people. Even Jesus studied the Word. Even Jesus spent time with the Lord. Something to it. Something to it. He said, as long as it's called today, I want you to do this. As long as it's called today. So that leads me to the question of what about when it's not today? What about when it all ends? What was it worth to follow Jesus beyond salvation? Walk with him, live for him, be more and more like him. What was it worth, right? And what was it worth if I let that evil, unbelieving heart harden me? What was it worth, right? The next day, when today is not today, when it's it, when I'm standing before the Lord, and I got to ask myself the question, did I put myself in a place where I could actually see myself? My mom, she used to say this when we were little, before we go to school. She would say, you look at each other before you go in. I have 6 siblings, so 7 of us. You look at each other before you go into the building. And she held each of us accountable for what the other one looked like because they can't see themselves. When you're in the car, you don't just have a mirror on hand in the first grade. You look in my face and tell me if I got crust in my eyes. You look in my face and tell me if I got snot on my nose. You be in my face and tell me if my breath stinks. You tell me I blow out. I don't blow in. Look, I blow out. I can't smell that. You got to catch that and tell me if I'm missing it. We'll stand before the Lord when today is no longer today, when time has ended for us, and we'll say, did I put myself in a position for people to see me, the real me, the fallen me, or did I say I'm good over here? This is what the writer of Hebrews does. He likens this whole situation to what happened with Moses and the people in the wilderness. This is what he says. This is the rest of that chapter, Hebrews 3, 16 through 19. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? They got out. They got saved from Egypt. Okay. And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? That's a long time to be provoked. Long time. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? They died there. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient, it was them. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. I want you to look at that. They were unable to enter because of unbelief. But we weren't talking about belief. We were talking about actions. But he said They weren't able to enter because of their unbelief. Oh, man, okay, we got a little connection here. This is where the teach-preach comes in, right? A little connection here. He calls it unbelief. He knew that their actions were indicative of their belief. Their actions were indicative of their belief. I want to make something clear right here, right now. You do not get saved by your actions. You don't get saved by your actions. You can't do it. I can't do it. If we could have did it, we would have did it a long time ago. We can't do it. We can't do it. So this is not a point to say, well, if my life is not perfect, then I'm going to hell. Absolutely not. If that was the case, we'd all be in hell. That'd be it. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He did something for us, and he allowed us to accept it or not. He allowed us to accept it or not. He did all of the work. Accept it or not. Our actions, however, show if we actually believe in him. Our actions show it. Not a matter of perfection, but where are you headed? Are you headed here? Are you headed here? Or are you just over here? I got Jesus, but I'm just living my best life. It's not your best life. I'm just out here having a good time. Yeah, I know Jesus and all of that stuff. Well, I got saved. I accepted him. You accepted him as what? Lord and Savior? Or did you just take Savior? You can't have one without the other. Because if you accept him for who he is, and all of a sudden you realize he's up here, that means he tells me what to do. I can't just accept his sacrifice and not accept his lordship. When I say, Jesus, I accept you, at that moment, I say, I am following you. I am following you. You are my Savior and my Lord. We can't just stay over here. It's a daily thing to be going from here to here. Sometimes it feels easy. You know, we just, ooh, ah, yeah, 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 yeah. It's just easy. I just want to dance. Sometimes it's like, ah, God, Victor, can you come up here real quick? Victor, I need you real quick. Come here, for real, for real. I need you. Come here. I need you to help me get over there. Just help me get over there because it's so hard for me to. Thank you. Guess what just happened? All right. Discipleship closed the gap. But if Victor not here, go ahead, Victor. I appreciate you, brother. Now give it up for Victor. If I don't put myself in a situation where Victor's around, all of a sudden that real hard thing for me to do, I might just be like, man, forget it. This feels better. Me getting drunk every night feels much better. Me out here being promiscuous feels much better. Me dealing with my pain through sin feels much better in the moment. It feels much better. Discipleship says, hey, we can't keep living like that. Come on. You read the word, and the word is telling you the truth, and you say, I can't. The conviction is there. The Holy Spirit is reminding you, look, he died for this. He died for you to be free. You're in the right spot. Come on, just keep on coming this way daily. We keep coming this way. That's what discipleship looks like. That's what it looks like. If we decide to stay here, he describes it. The bodies laid out in Egypt. Outside of Egypt, in the wilderness. The bodies were laid out. A lot of people died out there and didn't enter the promised land. The promised land. You were supposed to get this, but you could not enter this. This is where we get into the once saved, always saved, or not. How does it work? All of that stuff. Do I lose my salvation? Do I always have my salvation? At one point, did I have it and lose it? Or did I never have it in the first place? Look, we don't even have to get into all of that. We don't have to get into all of that. I want to put a focus on a particular part. He said your heart would be hardened. The deceitfulness of sin hardens the heart. I think if you are aware of your heart at all, then you hadn't gotten to that point yet. I think the people who have hardened hearts have literally no idea, no thought process at all for the nature of their heart. They are just there. So if you are in this room right now and you're like, I think I got to that part, my heart is just too hard. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because you're aware of it. All you need to do is get in here so you can close the gap. Get in discipleship so you can close the gap. That's all you need to do. You are not too far gone. If you were too far gone, I don't think you'd know it. I don't think you need to worry about if I was saved or not. Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? Yes, he is. I did accept him as that. Do you need to repent? Absolutely. Hey, welcome to the club. We all out here repenting. Come on. Come on. Come on. Jump in the middle right here, and we'll get here. We'll get here, and we'll do this every day. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes it's hard, but we'll do this every day, and we'll close the gap. This is what discipleship looks like. The other side of this is being rejected from what God has for you. I don't think none of y'all are in that place. I don't think you'd be here if you were in that place. I think that we're in this place because we want to grow. We want to be like Jesus. We love the Lord, and that's our desire. So my encouragement to you is that you would put yourself in discipleship. Again, what is discipleship? It's giving yourself to God's word. Because you want to be a disciplined learner, right? Right? Y'all want to be a disciplined learner? We all want to be like Jesus, want to be a disciple? Give yourself to his word. Give yourself to his spirit. Communion with him. Give yourself to his people. That means being around some people. Being here. That is discipleship. That's part of the discipleship. God puts people in your life where you're walking side by side. He puts people in your life who are ahead of you. He puts people in authority over you. He does those things so that we can look more like him and get to his will. This is what he desires for you and I. Discipleship is not for the unbeliever. It's for you and me. This is what we are called to do. This is what we're called to walk out. Got some final thoughts for you here. In the meantime, your heart's not hardened, but you've been over here in this section. I want you to know that your life is being impacted by it. Your life is being impacted by it, and the people near you are being impacted by it. Your life is being impacted by you following this. You need discipleship not just for you, but those people around you. It is impacting you and those people around you. What I do personally impacts my wife and my five sons, whether I see it or not. So, by the same measure, my repentance impacts my wife and my five sons, whether I see it or not. Every time I make a movement this way, every time I trust the Lord, trust God and say, come on, God, give me the people, give me the strength, give me the stuff. I'm walking this walk. I'm moving away from this, and I'm coming to this. I'm closing the gap. It impacts my family. It impacts my friends. It impacts my business. It impacts my witness. Don't be sauceless out here. Because you know what it's like to be sauceless. Because when you try to correct somebody, they say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not get it twisted because me and you both was out here kicking it. Last week, like, you know what it is. And you might be like, well, that's just a little bit more authentic. You know, believers fall to, You keep on talking that talk. You keep on talking that talk. You and I both know. Discipleship kicked that right out. It might be tough, don't get me wrong. There's a process. Some stuff you don't even recognize because it's on the back of your neck. You got to be in here. But you know what it's like to try to tell somebody to go the right way when y'all just carpooled the wrong way. It was both of y'all. We were both doing shots until we blacked out. I'm just being real because this is where we at. We in Dallas, right? It's bars everywhere. I ain't getting talking about drinking. I'm talking about drunkenness. You know what it is. Y'all was both doing that other thing. Whatever that is, whatever popped in your head, that. y'all were both out there doing that. It affects your witness. What does this matter in the grand scheme of things? Well, it matters because God called you and me to be a light. He said, you are a city on a hill. You are like a city on a hill, right? Shining bright. It cannot be hidden. It says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on its stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine so that men may see your good works. And do what? Give glory to your Father who's in heaven. I don't want to take glory away from God by my actions, the way I'm doing things. I want you to know today, you're not going to see everything that's wrong in your life. God didn't mean for you to see everything that's wrong in your life. He put people around you. He gave you his word. He gave you his spirit. He gave us that so that we can get closer to this. You are not too far gone. You're listening to this message. I don't believe you're too far gone. If you're considering this at all, you're not too far gone. You might not even be considering this. It might just be hitting your ears right now. But I want you to know, I don't think you're too far gone. I think you got a chance. I think you got an opportunity, because while today is still today, you can go for it. You can go for it. Everybody stand on your feet if you would. Lord God, you see everybody that's in this room. Lord, you know where we are in our walk. You know our faults, our failures. You know how we slip. You know how we fall. You know what we think about doing, Lord God. Let it be that we are in a situation where it's not just you who knows, Father, but there are some trusted people close to us who we can walk with and tell them what we're struggling with. It's people that we can walk with that will see what's going on in our life, Lord God, and that we will begin to close that daily gap between our fallen desires and your will. Father, we want to love you with everything, our heart, our mind, our soul, Lord, and we want to love our neighbor as ourself. Father, we want to do your will. We ask for your direction right now. Lord God, we ask for your comfort right now. You've done everything that there is that's needed to be done for us to know you and grow in you. Father, help us to just access it. Help us to reach out. Help us to join that small group. Even if it's not small group semester, Lord God, help us to join that group of friends who goes out for coffee, who are like-minded in you, Father. Help us to do that so that we can see the freedom you desire for us to have, so we can shine like you want us to shine. Lord God, so that we can close this gap daily. Lord, we love you. We desire this because you desire it for us, and you are our creator. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me say one thing real quick. The will of God is to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. The second one is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You may ask, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is whoever you can fathom. Back in the day, they only could fathom the people there and nearby. That's all they knew about, right? Oh, we can take the boat over here. We can send a letter over here. That's all they knew about. Today, we're more connected than ever. So anybody you can fathom, which is everybody today, that's your neighbor. Love them like Christ loves you. And like you love yourself. Love you guys. Be a disciple. Be discipled. Get in his word. Be in communion. Get in relationship. Love you guys. Y'all have a great Sunday.